It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
It's been a week, as we say hello to you for the second hour, since George Kliarkoff and Greg Sankey went to Washington. Exactly why, we're still not certain, but there's been a lot of pushback from columnists around the country. One in the Washington Post today blistered both at a time when they should be trying to help young players. They seem to be curtailing them. And another column by Brady McCullough in the Los Angeles Times under the heading, "In College Sports, New World of NIL Pay, Big 12 Leaders Sound Old-Fashioned." It's always great to connect to Brady. Brady, good afternoon, and thank you very, very much. So much to talk about these days. Good. How are you?
Hey, great, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no shortage of topics.
Well, let's start with that trip, because I know, well, I don't know, but you assume that their intentions were good, but what exactly is good? And more than whatever they accomplish, which seems to be very little, the blowback and the controversy that has ensued has almost outweighed it, as well as the results, as you pointed out today, with a Florida player heading west for obviously money.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, you know, from the player's perspective, I think he sees opportunity to start at Arizona State, because the Arizona State quarterback, Jaden Daniels, made his way to LSU, where I just have to assume he was compensated or will be compensated in some form or fashion for that. And you know, good for these kids. Go get it.
So what do you think was their end game, and do they have a chance to get anything done in Washington?
So the end game is definitely, like, they're just taking the baton from Mark Emmert, who spent the past couple of years going to D.C. trying to grease the wheels for a federal bill that will cover and supersede all of these state laws and put, you know, one law of the land in place when it comes to player pay and NIL. And obviously they want it to be favorable to them, which I think they were very much, you know, hopeful about until the Senate swung Democrat the last election. And that really, you know, kind of limited what the NCAA and the schools were going to be able to accomplish in D.C. To the point that if legislation had happened after that, it probably would have been much more favorable to the players. So, but they're picking it up. Emmert's, you know, announced that he's out, and I think that Kliarkoff and Sankey wanted to symbolically, you know, say conferences are going to start, you know, getting into this a lot more going forward to go along with all of the pressure that I think they're feeling to put pressure on the NCAA to try to do their job.
So realistically, let's talk about the congressional part of it first. The midterms are coming up here in a couple of months. If you look at the betting line, which hasn't really helped anybody in the past gauge elections, the Republicans are going to take over. Does that favor the suit, so to speak, the Sankeys, the Kliarkoffs of the world, to get what they want?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the thinking all along. I mean, I still think that there's you know, legitimate doubt, even if the Republicans take back the Senate, that they're going to have a whole lot of success pushing stuff through when Biden is still in the White House, or that in the world we live in, forget college sports, that this is actually going to take precedence. Also, if you're in a state, if you're a senator in a state where suddenly these collectives are giving your schools a chance to compete for the best players in the country, and I think you know some of the states that I might be talking about, are you really going to come in and sign a bill that is limiting what your constituents want, which is a football team worth rooting for?
Yeah, it's interesting because you'll have conflicting views. You have I just came from Alabama this morning, a state that's very red, with two conservative representatives, but there's nothing more important than the two football teams. So even though one of the senators is a former coach, you vote at your own risk, right?
Yeah. But think about it. If you're Alabama senator, now I guess if you're thinking about Auburn, it's a different conversation. But if you're thinking about the Crimson Tide, having some limits on player pay keeps things status quo, and status quo has done pretty dang good for Nick Saban. But if you're a state senator, or you're a U.S. senator in Tennessee, limits on player pay isn't helping you beat Alabama the next year. So I think it all kind of depends where you are.
It does. And Brady, I wonder, though, in terms of the appearance, and I know you alluded to it, but if you're George Kliakoff or any of these Power Five commissioners, I understand your frustrations, but when you speak student-athlete out of both sides of your mouth, how does that square with what you are apparently doing up there?
Yeah, it's tough for sure, and it's hard to listen to. But you have to see, if you put yourself in Kliakoff's shoes, which I try to do out here, you got to factor in, the Pac-12 is a microcosm of, or every conference is a microcosm of the greater NCAA model, with the failing, so to speak, model. George Kliakoff has to look out for Washington State's interests just as much as he does Oregon. And that's the entire thing. Even within the conferences, there is such a divide in resources and budget and institutional priorities and how much each school wants to step up to that line of we're paying players for their performance, and which schools are comfortable with that. I just think, obviously, I think Oregon is a lot more comfortable with that notion than Washington State is. And for the Pac-12 as a whole, especially out west here, I think these presidents, these schools, they are very averse to anything that looks like that. And so George has to thread that needle of trying to please a lot of people who have different interests. And so, yeah, he's looking out for the Conference of Champions, for all those Olympic sports, the doomsday scenario that always gets thrown out of, oh, well, once you start sharing the revenue with the football and basketball players, well, then the U.S. Olympic development program, falls apart. One of the scare tactics of, that's always used. So it's, yes, the student athlete term it's tiresome, and these guys just won't let it go. But there's a reason why they won't in the positions that they're in.
Brady, on that front, there's already a great divide out there. It's a league that continues to fight for relevance. How is the NIL card playing? We know how it's playing at some of the schools, but you mentioned Washington State and Washington and some of the other schools where I doubt the appetite for this is nearly as high. What's happening at those places?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of they're playing it by the book. They're not. I'd say a lot of them aren't even living in the gray of the rule book, or so to speak. But even look at the LA schools, USC and UCLA, as of today, do not have collectives formed by their donors. And obviously USC's made waves in the portal and they've rebuilt their roster very quickly. And but the spin on it is that those are at least NIL deals. They are not coming from a collective of boosters funneling money together toward convincing guys to come to school. At least they don't have a collective anyway. So when you've got schools like USC and UCLA who aren't doing the collectives, Oregon is, Arizona State is, Washington is. But Washington, big program, great tradition. They've got Chris Peterson involved in their collective, and he's like playing police of the collective, saying, well, we've got to, you know, we want to help our athletes get NIL, but without selling our soul, you know. So it's just a different atmosphere out here. And I think Klyavkov, you know, looks at it and says, our schools just aren't going to be able to do this like the SEC schools are going to be willing to do it over time. And so, yeah, we need these things enforced if we're ever going to be at anything like a level playing field.
Now, this is somewhat of a loaded question, Brady, as we wrap up, but what is the view of what's happening in the South, particularly the SEC, a couple of other places, in terms of this NIL and I mean, the perception that they're just out there buying players?
Well, I think that is the perception, but I also don't think that anyone who's being honest with themselves is surprised by it or should be that bothered by it. I mean, these players, I mean, here's the thing. They're just, all it is you have certain schools, eventually anyway, once collectives aren't the, once revenue is being shared, you're just going to have schools that already spend way more money on football, just spending it more, but some of it going to the players too. You know, it's not going to change the competitive balance at all. It's just a redirection of where the big spending is going at whatever schools decide they eventually want to go pay for play. And in this case, the collectives as a, you know, as a NIL, quote unquote, that is being used to convince guys to go to certain schools. I mean, it's just a redirection of resources from the same schools who want to spend big either way.
Brady McCullough with us from the Los Angeles Times. Before you go, what is the expectation for Lincoln Riley in the first year?
Well, I mean, I think Vegas has them as favorites to win the league. I think that's pretty bold. You know, he's not a miracle worker. I mean, I think obviously Caleb Williams is a big get, and certainly the receiver Mario Williams, and they've got a ton of good transfers. It seems like they'll help from Alabama, and I believe Auburn. I think there's a defensive end from Auburn too, but. Yeah, I would think that game at Utah, they play at Utah in October. I think it's pretty likely USC will be 6-0, I think, going into it. But Utah is a team to beat to me. They're bringing a lot of guys back from a team that should have beaten Ohio State in the Rose Bowl and has really been consistently good for a while now. So I think, to me, if I had to pick someone, I would pick Utah in year one.
Great stuff as always, Brady McCullough from the LA Times. Brady, be well. Talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Really great stuff. One of the best reporters out there. We are heading to the break here. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Daryl is up next.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, boy, Mike Griffiths wrote another wonderful article talking about Bud Ballou. Calling Bud Ballou legendary. When did Bud Ballou become legendary?
He had one play in his career, didn't he?
Pretty much, outside of handing the ball off to Herschel. You know,
I didn't see that article. You know, what did he say?
I said, so just talking about Bud Ballou. Is it about Bud? Told a story about when recruiting Herschel, he had something to do with Herschel coming to Georgia, and he went on, you know, went there and visited Herschel, and just, I mean, just a bunch of garbage. You know, but one thing that also caught my attention in there was he talked about, he said Herschel carried Georgia to a national championship. And tell me why this is. It seems like, I'll give you a perfect example, okay? In the national championship game against Alabama. All right, Ringo intercepts the ball, runs it back for TD. He is steaming it into history for a lifetime in Georgia. But you know, and I know, if he don't have them boys out in front of him, I mean, just laying the wood of those Alabama players, he doesn't return that for a pick six. If Herschel, if they were just handing Herschel the ball and nobody blocked for him, Herschel wouldn't have been nowhere near effective as he was. Why don't we just give the one player all the credit instead of spreading it around? Why do you think that is?
You're asking me something I don't know.
Okay. Man, I'll tell you what. I'll say this much. Griffith Snow probably doesn't know. He need to go check out the national championship game. Georgia had 156 total yards in that game and won, okay? And they won, and the reason they went undefeated is because they had a great defense. They had Lady Luck on their side, and they had a pretty good special team. Then, of course, we had Herschel. But, you know, you've got to give a lot more credit than just to Herschel. Paul, let me ask you this. I saw the poll come out. USA Today came out with a college football poll. Bama number one, of course. Ohio State number two. Had Georgia three. Had Tennessee four. Florida 14. Tennessee 15. Had A&M five. If Georgia's number three, how are we going to lose to South Carolina and Tennessee and Florida and all of them? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, the answer is they're not going to. Georgia is not losing to South Carolina. That's ridiculous.
Paul, think about this, okay? Georgia had 15 players go in the draft, right, which set a record. Now, wait till the other players that didn't go pro, like Carter, who will go in the first round next year,
how about third and
21
draft?
Of those 22 players are going to end up being drafted off that football team in the NFL. The only one that would not be drafted was the quarterback, and he was the MVP in the playoff and the MVP in the next championship game. That tells you right there all you need to know of what Kirby Smart is doing. As far as the defense, let me ask you this. If Muschamp would have been on the staff after Tucker went to Michigan State, do you believe Muschamp would have been a defense coordinator instead of Lanning?
Probably.
I think so. You know, Muschamp's our defense coordinator this year. We're loaded, okay? Griffin, you understand. He has built this off Alabama's template, okay? It doesn't matter. I don't care how many returning starters South Carolina has or Tennessee has or Florida has, because the players that Georgia's putting on the field
you have to understand, you're arguing against the wall here. When commentators make those statements, you know why they're making them, because if they pick Georgia to win every game, nobody's going to care. But so you make a ridiculous prediction or an outrageous prediction. I can't believe radio doesn't understand that.
Well, I mean, you know, let me say this, okay? I mean, right now, I guess we don't talk about them. Everybody's trying to knock you off. But it's only two teams. It might as well just let Alabama and Georgia take the season off. Let all the rest of them play. And whoever wins, they'll play either Alabama or Georgia in the college. Going to put us in the college football playoff. Because we're going to be there, Paul. We're going to be there. I'm telling you. Kirby is going to have them boys there. Florida, one more thing. Let me say this to the Florida Gator fans there in Tennessee, okay? When the East and West ends in 2 years, guess who's going to end up having the most Eastern Division championships? Georgia. The most Western Division championships? Alabama. Comes back to the same old two. Georgia, Alabama. We're there, Paul. Kirby has us there, and we're going to be there for a long, long time. See you, Paul.
Justin is up next in Kansas. Hello, Justin.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to explain this and be as tactful as I can, but to me, this is not difficult, going back to Nick Saban, and I don't know why everyone is afraid to say it, in particular in the media. But where does Nick Saban's what coaching tree does he come from?
Well, he comes from there's a couple. I mean, his most recent coaching tree was Belichick. Before that, Don James.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, and so Bill Belichick has been busted how many times for cheating, tampering, illegal filming, you name
quite,
it.
Quite a few.
And I know I'm going to get some pushback here, but I don't know why, and I think this Louisville coach is trying to say it. He doesn't want to say it, but he's trying to say it. Nick Saban's cheating. He's tampering with these players, and I don't know why everybody's afraid to say it.
Well, here's Justin, if you study – I'm speaking generally here. But usually the most powerful people in any platform do not get much blowback, and that's why in today's media climate it's getting worse, because the media, particularly in sports, has become very lame. But
agreed.
You know, Satterfield's comments. I mean, what's there not to understand about this? I think it's not only him. That's pretty clear to me. I mean, he's calling out Nick Saban, and you know, Saban's comments literally went around in a circle. I don't know of anything or anybody that's tampered with him. I don't really know that anybody's ever tampered with our players. I just think sometimes when things happen, it makes you wonder. Now, here is a Saban trademark. I'm not making any accusations against anybody. That's a standard Nick Saban line about everything. After he gets the passive aggressive shot in, then he comes back and tries to cover it up. But back to what
I
you
agree.
Said, I don't know. I will tell you, I understand your theory, but just because Bill Belichick has gotten busted with the New England Patriots has absolutely nothing to do with what Nick Saban has done. I think Saban's career has been pretty spotless.
Well, I mean, but he was an assistant underneath.
Well, so what?
Bill Belichick.
He was an assistant under Belichick 25 years ago.
But he learned a lot of what he knows now, I'm sure, from that experience. Just as Bill Belichick learned from Bill Parcells.
He learned a lot from Bill Belichick, but he's also been a head coach since, I think, 1997. So I really don't know what happened 25 years ago. I mean, you're drawing quite a jagged line there. But I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. JK is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I can't complain about nothing, man. Hey, I listened to this last call, and of course, you know I agree with him 100%. We don't know what Nick did. We don't know what he did in the past to get all the best players, but he did something. So, hey, whatever he's complaining about, mad about, and the coach that's allegedly accusing him, I can accuse him. He can't do anything to me about my opinion. But, hey, that's how it's going right now in college football. Somebody's going to get paid. Somebody has to pay them to get them to their school. So, hey, whatever happens, happens. That's how I feel about it. Do you see anything wrong with it, Paul?
None of this really bothers me, but you know, I'm not Nick Saban. I'm not sitting there talking to reporters, and somebody says you're accused of tampering. I mean, what is he supposed to say?
The best thing that comes to mind. That's what he's supposed to say.
Well, no, that's absurd. I mean, he's not a caller to a talk show like you are, JK. He's the head football coach at the best school in college football.
Well, you don't expect him to tell the truth, do you, Paul? Not about that, anyway.
Do you believe Nick Saban is tampering?
As long as they get there and get wins for the school, they don't care.
Let me ask you a better question, JK. Tell me the coaches that aren't tampering right now.
They hey Paul, look,
and I'll show you a losing football coach.
Hey Paul, they've been doing it for years. The NIL was started years ago, and as I said a couple of years ago, you can go to the campus at the University of Alabama, and you could have found a Dodge dealership from all the Dodge Chargers.
You could have gone to the football facility in Coral Gables and found nicer cars back in the day.
You're exactly right. They've been doing it for years.
I mean, this has been going on since all of us were alive. Players have always gotten cars. That's without saying.
It's cool though, Paul. I don't have an issue with it. I just want to see some better football games. Lead the ULMs and Austin Peay's to the Division III schools to play, not down there in T-Town. We want to see some Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma. We want to see some of those.
Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We would love to hear from you. A lot of guests, a lot of time for calls. 855-242-7285, and we are back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here as we continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A number of guests still to come. Let's continue and check in here with Rowan, who is in Arkansas. Hey, Rowan.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I've got a few comments to make what I've heard the last few weeks on the show. First off, I'll never understand how NIL ever came to be. If me, you, or anybody else wants to go to any university, we have to pay to go to that university. These students are already getting paid. I've never heard anybody say that. They're getting a free education. They don't have to pay to go play football and get a free education. So they're already getting paid. How NIL ever came to be, ever even was a discussion, I'll never understand. Secondly, I know why the best football players come out of the South. I was born and raised here in Arkansas, and I left and went to Southern California for 23 years. And what I learned out there is you have to pay to play football out there. Not everybody has the same opportunity. Here in Arkansas, you pay for your cleats and you pay for your mouthpiece. That's it. In California, you have to pay an $800 deposit and pay for your jerseys and pay for your everything to play football. So not every kid out there, one kid on the side of this side of the street that can afford to play gets to play, the other kids don't. And that's why I think the best players come out of the South. And you might not remember, but this is something that somebody mentioned last week about why best players come out of the South, and that's my take on it. And anyways,
we'll get some other comments. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Sound like you need some Zyrtec or some Allegra. Has your allergies?
I think spending the entire day yesterday by 50 acres of green grass may have done me in.
Yeah, I think it has. Can we get to the point where if you're going to make a medical proclamation that you have to have some type of documentation to back your statement up?
I mean, all you have to say is, I saw it on the news. That poor lady just didn't even have that.
Well, her and that Chris guy the other day,
I think 400 both,
players died.
From the same hymnal.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you, do you have any concept of how powerful and how much people pay attention to your word?
The answer would be no.
Now, I called you the other day with, and you and I were just having a simple tete-a-tete, and I asked you about your opinion about quarterbacks, or not necessarily quarterback, well, quarterback.
Right.
And the Heisman. Do you realize I have read multiple publications repeating that? Now, they don't repeat me or my part of it.
No, I know what you're talking about. But they, I saw some. I mean, all these things get kind of coupled together about our show. And, yeah, it was literally your question, and it ended up getting in a bunch of blogs. And that's what's crazy about the media today. And I'm not diminishing my own platform here, but, you know, it would be nice if they would quote people who had actually given it a second thought. I mean, we were sitting there together
collectively trying to come up with names. Well, I think it's a compliment to you. That all these other publications and stuff, The Spun, you know, they listen to you for information.
Well, they're crazy to do that, but I appreciate it. I mean, there are some things I really, you know, I have some background and understanding of. I mean, that was literally just a question that we were end of the bar.
We kind of started having fun with that at the end. But anyway, I just saw that, thought I'd say, hey, you've been listened to.
Well, I appreciate you. By the way, it was a good question, though. I liked it.
Okay, thank you. You have
thank
a good,
you very much.
Good day. Hope you feel
take
better.
Take care of yourself. P-Town is up next.
Hey. How you
hey,
doing,
how
Bob?
Are you?
Oh, pretty good. Long, long time listener from back in the lockjaw days.
Oh,
first
my
time calling.
Now, we need to bring some of those stories back.
I had a idea about the SEC schedule moving forward.
Yes.
I think they should do the pods, which, you know, a lot of people talk about, but take a little different stance on it to where you break into four team divisions and you play everybody in your division, then you play one of the other divisions 1 year, and you play one of the other divisions the next year, and that's your division for the year. You play everybody home and away, and the division you don't play, the pod that's never in your division, you play them you play two games every year. Anyway, it's a nine game schedule, but your schedule turns over every year except for the three teams within your pod. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do think it makes sense, although I think you probably know what I'm about to say, that there won't be a conference left in a couple of years that has divisions. We are in this cycle that everybody is moving away from it.
Well, but it would be a fun change because Alabama would play Texas every other year, Oklahoma every other year.
Yeah.
There's no way you can have divisions with 16 teams, so we've got to do something. Even if it is, just
right about that. Well, thank you for the call. It's a good suggestion. I just don't think we're anywhere close to it. Let me check in with Larry, who is up next. Hello, Larry. Good afternoon.
Mr. Feinbaum, I'm a 1,000-time caller, one-time getting in now, and I'm ecstatic.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you got on.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the guy about, you know, five callers ago. He's like talking about Saban and Bill Belichick.
Right.
And, you know, your dad or mom teaches you to tie your shoes, and really smart men soak in information. It doesn't matter, you know, and you get it from your friend, your brother, your sister, and you get everything, and then once you put it all together, you know, that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, he's a smart man gathering information.
I think it's one of the lamest arguments you can come up with to say that because someone coached for someone 25 or 30 years ago that they are going to take on the worst of their characteristics. You could also argue that Nick Saban has taken on some of Bill Belichick's best characteristics, which Belichick's the best coach in NFL history and in modern history, and Saban is the best coach in modern college history. But instead, that guy focused on two incidents in Bill Belichick's career.
Right. And when I played tennis in high school, I watched Pete Sampras, and my coach told me, don't just watch tennis, watch their footwork.
Well, listen, I appreciate it very much, but I think it's really a lazy and dishonest comment to what he said. But we have plenty of time to get some reaction. More of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're heading toward the end of the second hour. A couple more guests to go, but we have plenty of time to get in. So certainly a good time to call if you want. 855-242-7285. We talked earlier about Nick Saban's response yesterday to allegations of tampering by Louisville. We'll play what Saban said, if you missed it, at the top of the show in just a few minutes. Let's continue with more phone calls if you'd like to get in. And Mitchell is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Mitchell. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me. You've kind of hinted in this past, but I've been a lifelong Gator fan my whole life, and there's something about Billy Napier that I just think can't quite put my finger on, but there's something really special there. He's just so prepared, just seems so down to earth, and like he just knows exactly what he's doing, the moment or the job, the program's not too big for him. And I just think he's going to do special things at Florida and really turn the program back to where it once was under Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier before that, of course. And I just wanted to say I just think Napier is going to make Florida a national powerhouse again. I just have this feeling. I can't quite put my finger on, but there's something about him that's truly special. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and go Gators.
Yeah, Mitchell, thank you very much. And what you're saying has been heard by many people. I agree. In the encounters that we have had with Billy Napier, he's smart. He's all business. He's probably the most organized coach I've run into in a long time. And you can overdo the Saban comparisons, and I know people are sick of it. But there is from an organizational standpoint, he does seem similar. And I know everyone says, well, all you have to do is just take the Saban template. How many failures has Saban had? In terms of his disciples, I mean, let's think about it. And I think the better question is, who's been the biggest? Dooley was an abject disaster at Tennessee. So was Jeremy Pruitt. Now, Jeremy Pruitt, interestingly, if you analyzed him early on, you probably would have been wrong, and I was. I thought Pruitt had a chance to be something very special because he was a really great evaluator. Strong recruiter. He just couldn't let his ego got in the way. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people tried to help Jeremy Pruitt, and the man was just too obstinate, too stupid, really. I mean, I hate to use the word, but I'm going to. He was too stupid to accept what people were trying to offer. I know one person in particular, a very prominent person in Knoxville, who went to Pruitt and said, listen, you're really rough around the edges, and I have friends who with very short amount of time would be willing to help you. We're not, these are people that want to do it because they care. And Pruitt basically looked at the guy like, you're out of your mind. I know what I'm doing here. And that's why Pruitt will probably never be another head coach. And 3 or 4 years ago, you could have put him on the list to replace Nick Saban, which is always fun to talk about. But I think the man mentioned a minute ago, Napier. Nobody knows when Saban's leaving. I'm not one who thinks he's going to be 80 years old coaching. Maybe I'm just I've seen too many coaches hit 70 and it's somewhere along the line they either realize or somebody else realizes that it's time to go. But Napier would be on that list. I think, you know, TBD on Dan Lanning. I will tell you, I was with him 2 weeks ago today in Vegas, spent about 30 or 40 minutes before the show talking to him, and he's as impressive as someone, as anyone I've ever met who has never coached a game. I have no earthly idea what he's going to look like as a head coach. But if he is successful, he's on that list. You know, you would think Cristobal would be, but Cristobal could realize, I'm not, why would I leave Miami? I'm at my alma mater, and it's a gold mine. It could be a gold mine.